KOJB 90.1 The Eagle, good day and welcome to Environmental Voices. I'm your host, Marie Rock. Joining me in the studio is Steve Mortensen, Fish, Wildlife, and Plant Resource Program Director and Biologist for the Leech Lake Division of Resource Management. How are you doing today?
Doing well.
Awesome. What are we going to talk about?
Well, I thought we'd talk a little bit today about the northern long-eared bat.
Okay, the long-eared bat, it's been in the news lately. What can you tell us about this species?
Well, long-eared bat is one of many species of bats that is in steep decline due to white-nosed bat syndrome. And the long-eared bat was just recently, first part of May here, listed under the Endangered Species Act as a threatened species. Like I said, it's declining mainly due to white-nosed bat syndrome. And that is a fungal disease that is attacking our bats, pretty much all bat species. And what it does, it's, I guess you could kind of say it's sort of like having athlete's foot, and that it's just very irritating to the bats. And when they're trying to hibernate in the wintertime, it irritates them enough that they're expending extra energy, and they end up running out of fat to survive the winter. So they see strange things, like these guys will go out and try and fly around in the middle of the winter and find something to eat. And obviously, if you're an insect feeder flying around, you know, out in the middle of the winter, you know, your luck is not going to be very good. And then, of course, bats, you know, don't have a whole lot of fur, so they're really not made for being out in the winter. They normally will go into a cave in the wintertime, and once you get a ways into a cave, maybe a half a mile or so, the temperature is going to be up around 50 degrees or so. So that's much more tolerable than, you know, 20 below outside, which you might run into in the winter. The other thing with long-eared bats is that this is a species that up here would den and raise its young in trees, primarily cavities or maybe some loose bark or something. They would get up underneath there, and that's where they would raise their pups, is what a young bat is called. And, of course, people tend to take down any old decadent trees, but in a forest, you know, these decadent trees are really some of the most important trees in the forest. So they're also very concerned about loss of habitat due to human actions, and that's what's affecting us with the listing of the bat under the Endangered Species Act.
Okay, some people build bat houses. Have you ever heard of the bat houses that they build on their property for, I guess, for them to live in? Can they hibernate in those?
No, they can't hibernate in those. Those are just sort of summer hangouts. And most of the ones that people build are actually made just for roosting. There's different designs you can make if you want to actually provide brood habitat where they would actually raise young. Now, the long-eared bat is typically one that's not going to use those types of structures, and it's also a bat that you would very rarely ever get in your house. I think there's 7 species of bats in Minnesota, and most of the time, if you get bats in your house, you're going to have little brown bats or possibly big brown bats, but the other species, for the most part, are not going to end up in your buildings. It can happen, but it would be pretty rare.
What do they eat?
Bats eat, at least the bats we have around here, are almost all insect eaters. And people think, oh, they eat, you know, all these mosquitoes, which they do eat, but they're probably better at catching some of the beetles and things that are real pests to some of our tree species. When you think about it, you know, mosquitoes tend to be active, you know, early in the morning, right at sunup, and then right at sundown. If you go out at, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning, there really ain't that many mosquitoes around because it's gotten too cold for them, and they've retreated back to hanging out for the night. Whereas some of these beetle species and stuff that are night flyers, that's what a lot of bats will eat. And of course, you know, that's why bats are important, not only for controlling pests, but just for the general health of the forest. In other parts of the world, bats are important pollinators because they're actually seed eaters. They're fruit eaters, seed eaters. So they will actually disperse seeds and actually pollinate some plants in other parts of the world.
Wow.
There's even bat species not here, but other parts of the world that actually eat things like minnows or frogs, which seems kind of out of place. But, you know, animals adapt to meet the situation they're in.
Wow. Does having the bat protected under the Endangered Species Act have implications of some of the activities that people might want to do?
Well, it can have. Under Endangered Species Act, any activity that's considered to be a federal action is subject to the conditions of the Endangered Species Act. If it's not a federal undertaking, there's much less restrictions and so on. But under the 4D rule, which is the rule that is written for species that are listed as threatened, not for endangered ones, but threatened ones, there's efforts to try and protect habitat for bats. So obviously they're going to protect any places where they overwinter, their hibernacula. Now, we don't have any of those up here because, you know, we don't have any caves. There's only a few spots in Minnesota. like the Tower Sudan Mine is a spot, and then there's some actual, caves down in southeastern Minnesota. So those are actually protected. They also protect any spots where these long-eared bats are known to be raising young. So that could be, trees or something like that. So there is restrictions on taking of trees over 3 inches in diameter during the pup season. And we're still trying to get clarification on this. It looks like it's, throughout the summer into October for federal actions. It's less for non-federal actions. And a federal action is basically anything that involves federal funds, federal lands, and being the tribal lands for the most part are in federal trust that applies to them, or involves federal permit or federal dollars. So that encompasses a lot of things that happen around here. And we're still trying to sort out all the implications of what listing of the species has for activities here. But timber harvest and stuff can still go on. It just has to go on in the off season, which most of our logging occurs in the winter anyhow. But certainly there could be some implications. We're still, like I said, trying to sort that all out.
Okay. I got a couple questions on you about the myths about bats, when we're kids growing up and playing outside. Can they get caught in your hair?
Well, certainly it's possible, but I don't think it's something they would intentionally try and do.
Don't they have like a radar or something that...
Well, they feed by echolocating. They send out a sound that we can't hear. It's kind of a squeal or a beep or whatever, and then it reflects back off of a bug or whatever, or an obstacle for that matter, so they can navigate around and find things to eat and avoid hazards.
Okay, so getting caught in your hair is pretty impossible.
Yeah, I mean, it could happen. I mean, if a bat was trying to land in your hair happened to be the spot it was headed for, I suppose it's possible, but it's not something they would typically do.
Do they carry rabies?
Most species of bats can carry rabies, and bats and skunks are two species that can kind of just pick up rabies like you or I would pick up a cold.
Mm-hmm.
So it can happen. It's not real common, but certainly something that you need to be aware of. If you were ever bitten by a bat, you would definitely want to seek medical attention.
All right. Do they attack?
Bats will tend to try and avoid people if at all possible. I mean, if you get one cornered or something and try and grab it, it's going to do whatever it has to do and try and defend itself. But for the most part, they will try and avoid us if they can.
Okay. Those are just myths that I grew up with as a kid. They tell you can't play outside at night because of this, and bats were the big deal. So I guess I won't be so afraid of bats anymore. Anyway, Steve, if we have any questions, how do we get a hold of you?
Our number at the Division of Resources Management is 218-335-7400.
Awesome. Thanks so much for coming in. That's going to wrap up another edition of Environmental Voices for KOJB 90.1 The Eagle. I'm Marie Rock.